My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. You know, I almost hate to do this because I appreciate what Will Duffy did and the way Will Duffy communicates about science in the face of flat Earth. But he's a young Earth creationist, and in that respect, he's not that much, but he's on the same level as a flat earther. And he really, I mean, he sounds just like Kent Hovind. And the arguments he makes are exactly like flat Earth arguments, and the rationality is just like flat Earth arguments in many instances. We're going to have to do two videos on this. This one is just on a very specific claim, and then I'm going to go through more of this debate in a video that'll come out later. This is actually funny. You Are Mopped interviewed me for their YouTube channel. It's not up yet. I don't know when the interview with me will go up, but we sort of talk about the two books that I wrote and, you know, what I do online. This is the exact same point that I raised with Kent Hovind. He's at no point is he going to support the creationist claim. He's going to say, well, it could be. It exists entirely in the land of hypothetical. And this is kind of also the flat earth tactic that we've been pointing out forever. They're not flat earthers. They're globe deniers. So anyways, let's listen to Duffy's response.
I'm not looking for flaws. I'm looking for trying to understand it, understand the data, and I'm looking for things that don't fit the mainstream narrative, okay? So I'm going to say something right now that I'm guessing most, if not all, of the audience doesn't know, and that's this. Woolly mammoths did not have wool, okay? I have no idea why they're still called woolly mammoths, but they...
And I have no idea why he brings this up. So wool is what sheep have, and yeah, they had hair. But like we say woolly, like my beard is woolly. It's just kind of, I don't know. It's just a cute term. Like I said, I have no idea why he brings this up because it's not part of his argument in any way. But let's see what happens here. Kitty cat, what are you doing? You need to stay on camera. Now I need to move my phone. Jeez, making my life difficult.
They never had wool, all right? Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because everybody thinks that woolly mammoths had wool because of the name. They're unwilling to change the name, even though it's wrong. And I look at this as more science denial. And I'm going to tell you guys something else that's...
It's not science... For crying out loud. To call that science denial. You know how many misnomers there are? And this is a common name. What's actually really funny is when it comes to extinct organisms... The first name that it's ever given in an official scientific document is the name that it will have forever. It can't be changed. So iguanodon, right? That means iguana-like tooth. Well, iguanodon wasn't an iguana. It's not closely related to them. But we can't change the name. Also, bacillosaurus. That means something like king lizard. They thought it was an aquatic reptile, but turns out Bacillosaurus is actually an early whale. We can't change the name. Those are just the rules. And the first dinosaur ever to be named was almost, could nearly have been called human ball sack because it was called Scrotum humanum. That was the description given to the bone that they found for it. But luckily that wasn't in an official scientific journal, so it didn't stick. But anyways, these... common language terms like blue-green algae. Blue-green algae is bacteria. So algae and bacteria are in different kingdoms. So this is, you almost can't get worse than that. If you called a cactus a type of porcupine, you would actually be more accurate because at least cacti and porcupines are both eukaryotes. Whereas algae and bacteria, again, they're in different kingdoms. There are tons of examples of that. I actually have a whole list of misnamed organisms in my book, Facts That Aren't True. But to call this science denial is just, it's a cheap rhetorical trick. And it's not, it doesn't serve any kind of purpose. This is just, this is the kind of dishonesty that you hear or the grasping at straws, the reaching that you hear from flat earthers and people like Hovind.
Incredibly fascinating to me. They find fully formed woolly mammoths in the ice, which means, I think, that they were frozen very quickly, almost instantaneously. Not only do they find them, they find food that's not digested in their mouth and in their stomach.
Okay, well, there's a little bit more to this, but we have to pause here. So this is the type of claim that you hear people like, geez, I got to get my tabs organized, that you hear the Institute of Creation Research, Answers in Genesis, Kent Hovind say. They say stuff like, oh, in order for a mammoth to be completely frozen, the temperatures would have to be 200 degrees below zero. Where does the arithmetic for this come from? It comes from nowhere. They just literally make it up. Now, I don't remember if Duffy said the thing about tropical vegetation. Have mammoths been found with tropical vegetation still in their mouths? This one says subtropical. I couldn't find a source saying that anywhere except for these creationist things. I even went to, we'll come back to Talk Origins in a little bit. So I have no idea where that claim comes from. The type of plant that is listed is never given. I mean, these people lie so often. They went, wait a minute, John Morris, PhD asterisk? That caught me off guard, but that's very on brand. Anyways, they never say what the plant is. So the way they tell lies like this, I wouldn't be surprised. And that word tropical, that's the only time that it, you can't see my search, but it only pops up one time. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something to the effect of, well, we found flowers in the stomach content of a mammoth, therefore it's subtropical, which is just absolutely not the case. Oh, in the tundra, you can only have conifers and grasses. You can't have any flowers. That would be the kind of spin that they put on it. The Talk Origins website is like indispensable for debunking these creationist claims, and it's really good. This is actually the one I meant to click on, but the claim is that mammoths have been found that are completely mummified or frozen, indicating a quick freeze. And as you can just read this for yourselves, but this is complete bullshit. They are not found that way. The only mammoths that are found like that are very small babies. I mean, they're baby mammoths, so they're big, but they're not that big. There's some good information here about the habitat and that the mammoths lived in and the dates they've been dated to. But getting back to Duffy's claim here. So the idea, hey, kitty cat, you looking at the camera? So this claim that they're found completely frozen is basically false. They're preserved and they are frozen, but they're really only partially preserved because there's a great deal of rot. And this thing about them being found with plants in their mouths, if you live in the Arctic, that's where they're found today. You know, the range for mammoths extends all the way down into the lower 48. And for other mammoths, like Colombian mammoths, they extended as far down as Mexico. Now, we don't find any frozen mammoths in the lower 48, obviously. But the ones found in the Arctic, where it's cold and there's permafrost year-round, the idea that an animal died as it was eating and it had grass in its belly, the idea that it died in the Arctic and the food that it died with has been preserved there, I don't understand how that's fanciful in any way. We have found the remains of Arctic hikers and Arctic and Antarctic expeditions. Well, I think it's mostly Antarctic expeditions, but we've found the shacks and huts on land, not underwater, on land that polar explorers were using, and the food in them looks like the day it did over 100 years ago when the people were there.
They've even found grass that has the imprints of their teeth still on it, which means it wasn't digested, which all of that means that they were frozen instantaneously. But here's the crazy...
No, not instantaneously. Again, you die... Like, take some food, chew on it a little bit, and then go put it in your freezer and then check on it next year, it's going to look like when you put it in there.
Crazy part that I don't have an answer for, but it's going to blow everybody's mind. They found tropical flora in the mouth of a woolly mammoth.
Okay, so okay? This is where he says that. Again, I can't find this anywhere. I looked up, I did the search with the quotation marks. Give me only sources that say woolly mammoth tropical. And it only takes, the only thing I can get are the creationist sources that say it. And another good reason to bring up Talk Origins is because, I mean, the guy has hundreds and hundreds of debunked claims. He's extremely thorough in picking out particular arguments. I actually have, you can get this as a book. It's actually really similar in some ways to Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. But he entertains claims that are just so stupid that they don't even seem to need a response. I mean, he really goes over everything, and he doesn't even have anything about these tropical plants. So I need to see an original source for that, and I need to know what the plant is, because I bet they're just, it's either completely fabricated or they're calling something tropical that isn't.
Okay. Now, again, they didn't have wool. They're just mammoths. Tropical flora. All these mammoths are found within the Arctic Circle. There should not be tropical flora in the Arctic Circle. Now, I'm going to tell everybody what I believe. It's just a crazy theory, but it's funny. Everybody's allowed to have their own theories except for me.
No, nobody said that. I mean, you lambast and ridicule flat earthers for their ridiculous ideas. Well, at the same time, you kind of entertained their ideas, because one of the things they did with the final experiment was they tested the claim that, well, 24-hour sun in Antarctica, it's not really the sun, it's a reflection. They tested that and debunked it. So, yeah, I don't know. This is just sort of, this is silly.
My theory is that the Earth did not have an axial tilt in the past, and therefore, these mammoths have tropical and temperate flora in their mouths. And that a catastrophic event, yes, I believe it was Noah's flood, caused the Earth to roll. And that is where the axial tilt came from. And that is why we find them in the ice.
Okay. This is a really ridiculous claim to make. Here's Earth with the 23.5 or whatever it is degree tilt, and Earth with absolutely no tilt. So Duffy is telling us that conditions above the Arctic Circle, which is this black line right here, if Earth weren't tilted, it would be warm enough up there for tropical plants. Now, it probably would be warmer than what we have today. It probably wouldn't balance out, because the region would always get some sunlight, and we know that it experiences perpetual darkness, or nearly perpetual darkness, like the sun only coming a few degrees above the horizon for pretty long periods of time. And I'm sorry, but that's too ridiculous. And then what he's also trying to tell us is, if Earth got tilted by 23.5 degrees because of the flood, oh yeah, the flood. Okay. Well, do we talk about that now or later? I'll talk about that next. But the idea that Earth getting shifted 23.5 degrees would have caused the Arctic to plunge in temperature so fast that it was able to instantly freeze those mammoths, that is also, like, the amount of time it would take for the effect, for the cooling effect to take place would be, it would be years, even if it wasn't years, even if it was a month or so. You think that plants that are currently sitting in tropical conditions or subtropical conditions, whatever, are going to sit around and not rot or decay, preserve the tooth implants until it gets cold enough? Like, we're in silly land here. And then the flood. So Oh boy, creationists have this weird idea about. Does this mention the comets? Creationists have this bizarre idea about there being an ice age right after the flood. Now, it's not like I don't agree that ice ages occur, but the cause for their ice age, I've heard Kent Hovind talk about this before. It is, I mean, you know the movie The Day After Tomorrow, where those polar vortex hurricanes that can freeze things instantaneously crop up? They're looking for something like that. The most hilarious mechanism, or whatever we're going to call it, that they use for that is a cometary ice dump. Yes, comets going thousands of kilometers per hour, or tens of thousands of kilometers per hour, smashing into the Earth, would have cooled the Earth. No, they would explode on impact. It doesn't matter that the comets are made of ice. They would... they're good... That wouldn't cool anything down. Even if somehow the comets were just gently placed onto the Earth, where's all the mass from all of those comets? If it was sufficient enough to usher in an ice age, I mean, that's an unthinkable amount of ice to be able to do that. Where is all that ice? And he doesn't elaborate, but how on earth did Noah's flood cause an axial tilt? There are different explanations that creationists try to use for this. They say that the waters came from within the earth because it says the earth opened up and the fountains of the deep sprang forth. That's where all the water came from. So we take water out from the inside of Earth and it goes to the surface of the Earth. How is that going to cause an axial tilt? The water is going to evenly cover the surface of the Earth. There's no imbalance there. The only possible explanation is that, well, it only opened up in one place, but the idea that in 100 days enough water could have come up from that one place to flood the Earth, that's also just that's too stupid to take seriously. There's also this claim, and I've heard Bible scholars argue that no, the source of the water, it's pretty clear in the text, is because the firmament was destroyed and the chaotic waters above came down to the earth. Well, how would that usher in an ice age? How would that mess with axial tilt? There's nothing to take serious here. I think we can all see that this is an incredibly desperate attempt to reach for something that is so ridiculous. But the only reason we get there is because we're trying to find something that affirms a ridiculous idea in the first place. This is a conclusion in search of an explanation. And the explanation is absolutely horrible. So sorry, Will, but you kind of betray the entire spirit of what you got popular for what you set out to do with this. I award you 0 points. See you tomorrow.